Tarea 3.
The passing of Queen Elizabeth II has brought the British monarchy into focus, and while most people are familiar with the fanfare that surrounds the monarch's ceremonial role, what you might not know is the extent of some of the perks and powers that come with it. There are some odd ones, such as not needing a passport or a driver's license, and the fact that they can't be prosecuted under civil or criminal law. There are some unfair ones, like not having to pay inheritance tax, even on an estate valued at tens of millions of pounds. And then there are those that sound unlikely to be used, such as to call an election, or even to choose the Prime Minister. There's also the fact that the monarch signs in all new laws. But the Crown doesn't have any real power, right? The Crown does not meddle in the affairs of Parliament. That is the cornerstone of Britain's system of constitutional monarchy. Or at least it's supposed to be. Many people are unaware, but the monarch and their heir have the right to see all draft laws that might affect their personal interests, sometimes even before our elected representatives have seen them. So this could include anything that might affect any of the private assets owned by the royal family, such as the Duchy of Lancaster or the Duchy of Cornwall. A portfolio of lands, properties and assets with a combined worth valued over 1.6 billion. Under Queen Elizabeth II, this right was called Queen's Consent. It will now be known as King's Consent. But this consent goes further than simply viewing draft laws. The monarch can request that the government change parts of the laws that might affect them. In 1968, the palace negotiated controversial clauses in the Race Relations Act, exempting the Queen and her household from laws that prevent race discrimination. The palace argued in confidential documents that as senior posts within the duchies of Lancaster and Cornwall were not advertised, they would therefore be outside the scope of the bill, and that in clerical and office posts, it was not the practice to appoint coloured immigrants or foreigners. The palace achieved its goal before the bill even reached its second reading in Parliament. It had gained an exemption, which grouped it with the diplomatic service in such a way that it wouldn't appear it was trying to make itself a special case. Furthermore, complaints would not go to court, but would be privately dealt with by the Home Secretary. This exemption extended to later acts, including the Equal Pay Act of 1970 and the Sex Discrimination Act of 1975. Consent was also used in 1992 by the then Prince Charles to pressure John Major's government into exempting the village of Newton St. Low from a leaseholder reform, housing and urban development bill. The Duchy of Cornwall owned the village, and the bill would have given tenants the right to buy their homes. Prince Charles was against the idea, and a government memo stated, "It has been made clear to me that if the government wishes to press ahead on this issue, the prince will wish to discuss it at the highest levels." The government was keen to avoid a standoff with the prince and to keep his interjections out of the public eye. Ultimately, government ministers backed down, and Newton St. Lo was exempted, thus barring the tenants from the right to buy their own homes. The prince's interference in the law only came to light in 2020. Britain prides itself on its parliamentary democracy delivering the will of the people. And yet, at the heart of power, the monarch and their heir are able to pressure governments into changing legislation without the knowledge of the people or their elected representatives. This is reinforced by the fact that the royal household has an exemption from the Freedom of Information Act. Since Britain doesn't have a written constitution, it relies on those in power to merely act above board and to not exploit political conventions for personal gain. As things stand, the monarch has a lot more power than their subjects realize. The passing of Queen Elizabeth II has brought the British monarchy into focus. And while most people are familiar with the fanfare that surrounds the monarch's ceremonial role, what you might not know is the extent of some of the perks and powers that come with it. There are some odd ones, such as not needing a passport or a driver's license, and the fact that they can't be prosecuted under civil or criminal law. There are some unfair ones, like not having to pay inheritance tax, even on an estate valued at tens of millions of pounds. And then there are those that sound unlikely to be used, such as to call an election, or even to choose the Prime Minister. There's also the fact that the monarch signs in all new laws. But the Crown doesn't have any real power, right? The Crown does not meddle in the affairs of Parliament. That is the cornerstone of Britain's system of constitutional monarchy. Or at least it's supposed to be. Many people are unaware, but the monarch and their heir have the right to see all draft laws that might affect their personal interests, sometimes even before our elected representatives have seen them. So this could include anything that might affect any of the private assets owned by the royal family, such as the Duchy of Lancaster or the Duchy of Cornwall. A portfolio of lands, properties and assets with a combined worth valued over 1.6 billion. Under Queen Elizabeth II, this right was called Queen's Consent. It will now be known as King's Consent. But this consent goes further than simply viewing draft laws. The monarch can request that the government change parts of the laws that might affect them. In 1968, the palace negotiated controversial clauses in the Race Relations Act, exempting the Queen and her household from laws that prevent race discrimination. The palace argued in confidential documents that as senior posts within the duchies of Lancaster and Cornwall were not advertised, they would therefore be outside the scope of the bill, and that in clerical and office posts, it was not the practice to appoint coloured immigrants or foreigners. The palace achieved its goal before the bill even reached its second reading in Parliament. It had gained an exemption, which grouped it with the diplomatic service in such a way that it wouldn't appear it was trying to make itself a special case. Furthermore, complaints would not go to court, but would be privately dealt with by the Home Secretary. This exemption extended to later acts, including the Equal Pay Act of 1970 and the Sex Discrimination Act of 1975. Consent was also used in 1992 by the then Prince Charles to pressure John Major's government into exempting the village of Newton St. Lo from a leaseholder reform, housing and urban development bill. The Duchy of Cornwall owned the village, and the bill would have given tenants the right to buy their homes. Prince Charles was against the idea, and a government memo stated, "It has been made clear to me that if the government wishes to press ahead on this issue, the prince will wish to discuss it at the highest levels." The government was keen to avoid a standoff with the prince and to keep his interjections out of the public eye. Ultimately, government ministers backed down, and Newton St. Lo was exempted, thus barring the tenants from the right to buy their own homes. The prince's interference in the law only came to light in 2020. Britain prides itself on its parliamentary democracy delivering the will of the people. And yet, at the heart of power, the monarch and their heir are able to pressure governments into changing legislation without the knowledge of the people or their elected representatives. This is reinforced by the fact that the royal household has an exemption from the Freedom of Information Act. Since Britain doesn't have a written constitution, it relies on those in power to merely act above board and to not exploit political conventions for personal gain. As things stand, the monarch has a lot more power than their subjects realize.